All right, tonight, good to be back in the house of the Lord. I pray He'll teach us something, help us tonight as we study His Word. We're in the midst of a short series of probably six or seven different lessons concerning the twice called in the Scripture. We have dealt with a number of different ones. We are on study number four. We started out with the call of sorrows, and had two or three different passages there that we dealt with. And then we dealt with the call of of the Scripture and the sacrifice that is given to everyone. We must be willing to obey Him and to sacrifice unto Him. Last week we dealt with the double call to Jacob, where the Lord said, "Jacob, Jacob," and that was a call to surrender. And I believe every Christian, as we walk our life as a child of God, we will have these particular calls to us that we have to sacrifice, we have to surrender. Sometimes there is sorrow involved in the work of the Lord. And then tonight, we're in the book of Exodus, a very familiar verse. Hadn't been too long. We studied these verses in our Sunday school time. Exodus chapter number 2 and chapter 3. We'll be dealing with the man Moses and the call that God gave to him. And this was a call, I'm calling this the call of separation. And all of us have to deal with these issues of life and the things that come before us. And certainly we have to be separated from the world in order to be used of God. And Moses had that call of separation given unto him. So in the book of Exodus, chapter number 2, verse number 23, and then we'll read on down into chapter 3, probably into verse number 12. So we'll just continue our reading when we get to the chapter break and go on with that. Exodus chapter number 2 and verse number 23. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up to God by reason of their bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, "I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. And I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Amorites and the Perizzites, and the Hevites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Now thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, and I have sent thee. and thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Verse 13, Moses said, Behold, I come. And he asked them, says, when they say, Who sent me? Of course, the Lord says in verse 14, God says to Moses, You tell them, I am that I am. And they understood surely that when they heard that, that meant it was God that was sending Moses, and Moses had been sent to them for a deliverer. In verse number 4 of chapter number 3, we find here our text verse. When the Lord had seen the affliction of the people of Egypt, of Israel there in Egypt, He comes to Moses and He says, Moses, Moses. And Moses answered, Here am I. This seems to be a common expression that is given. We found last week that Jacob said that. We found that Abraham also said that. Here am I. I'm here. I'm ready at your disposal. And so as we look tonight upon this call of Scripture where God calls Moses by his name two times, we find here this is a call given to him for separation from his family. It's a separation from the world that he had grown accustomed to, and he was to be going to his own people, the people of Israel, as they are there in the bondage of Egypt. There arose a king that knew not Joseph, and therefore much bondage and much task was put upon them. The Pharaoh of that day and the king of Egypt of that time was very fearful of the Israeli people because they were great in number. They had a lot of people, and they had grown from that 60 or 70 people that had come over during the time of the famine. Now they're a great nation. They're a great people, and that Pharaoh that knew not Joseph was afraid of who they were and what they would do, so therefore he puts them into bondage. He makes them slaves. He makes them to be bearer of the burdens of Egypt. And so they cry unto the Lord. Now Moses is unaware of their cry. Moses is, he is in another area. He's on the back side of the desert. He is serving his father-in-law. He is there out of Egypt. He's there no longer. We remember the story how that Moses killed an Egyptian and had to flee for his life. And now he's on the backside of the desert being a shepherd. He was just content to be a shepherd. But God had a different plan for him. God had a different way for his life. And here we find that God is going to separate him from his surroundings and of now his family that has been there. The Scripture tells us that in verse number 21 of chapter 2 that Moses was content to dwell with the man. And he was content to be where he was. And the man gave him a wife, Zipporah, his daughter. And she bare him a son. The name was Gershom. And so Moses was just really content to be where he was. And everything was going well until the Lord said, Moses, Moses. Everything was working right in Moses' mind. I'm sure he thought he had everything just like he was going to be. And this is the way he's going to live. This is the way he's going to die. But God intervened and God called his name. And we find as they are going to move now in just a little while, the whole people of Israel is going to be moved out of Egypt, and they're going to the Promised Land, and they're going to face many, many adversaries. You and I, sometimes we face the adversaries. There are three main adversaries or enemies that all of us face, and I believe the people of Israel faced those enemies as they traveled from Egypt into the Promised Land. They faced the problem of the enemy of the world, and they faced the problem of the flesh, and they faced the problem of the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil, those are the three areas that we have to fight, the battle. And God had now called to Moses and said, I'm going to use you to separate these people, for the world had to be conquered in Egypt. They were in Egypt, and Egypt's always a type of the world and a type of sin. And God was going to bring them out, and now they had to deal, as you see them move later on, as they go from Egypt to toward the Promised Land there in the wilderness, they have to deal with the flesh. They have to deal with their desires and their wants, and they have to deal with that. And then when they get in the Promised Land, they had to deal with and conquer the Canaanite land, had to deal with the devil and all those cohorts that he had. And so now God's told Moses, he said, I've got a job for you to do, and I've got to separate you from where you are, to get you out of your comfort zone, maybe we could call it that, to get you out of where you are so that you might be used of God, where you could be blessed of God and could be a servant of the Lord with great blessings. And of course, Moses is one of the great patriarchs of the Old Testament. And it all comes down to this portion of Scripture right here that the Lord has spoken to him and given him direction, given him a call upon his life, and it's a call of separation. Let's notice some things tonight about Moses. We're going to notice his past. We're going to notice the position that God had given him, how that he what he had, and then we're going to see some excuses that he had about his personality. And of course, we can all fall into those things, and we all have our past experiences. We have different things in our life. We have our excuses that we can't serve God. But when God calls us, we can do that. When God directs us, when God gives us direction of life, we can do exactly what He says. Let's notice, first of all, the experiences from Moses' past. Now, Moses, where we've read, he's an adult man. He has a wife been given to him. She has given him a son by the name of Gershom. And he's settled down pretty well as a shepherd. And he was very satisfied with that. Notice, let's see some things of the past life. And again, the Scripture moves very rapidly from the time of the birth of Moses until where we are tonight. It's even really in the same chapter we find in Exodus chapter number 2 and verse number number 1 says, "There went out a man, the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." And so we find here that Moses had a past and had something that God was going to use in his life, and God was going to show even to his mother and to his family that he was a choice child. He was a good, the Bible says here, he was a goodly child. That means he was a preferred child. And we find the work of his mother here in verse number 2 that she hides him 3 months. Now we know why that she did that, because the decree had been given that every child, every man child of the Israelis, of the Jews, was going to be slaughtered, was going to be killed. And so she sees that Moses is a goodly child. She sees that he is a child that maybe could be used of the Lord, and she hides him 3 months. And in verse number 4, or verse 3 says, "And when she could not longer hide him, she took him in an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and pitch and put the child therein, and she lay it in the flags of the river brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit that which will be done to him." So here's the mother's work. She hides him as long as she can, and now she builds a little boat called the Ark of the Bulrushes. And she builds it and pitches it within and without so it's waterproof, and she casts him into the river. Now she puts him where the flags or the bulrushes were so that he would not float down the Nile River, and certainly that great river there on the continent of Africa. And we find that she puts him there for a space to watch, and she sends the sister of Moses to watch to see what's going to happen and what is done unto him. And so the mother has a work and the sister has a watch. Oh, but God has a will. Thank God tonight for the will of the Lord. He has a will for all of us. Verse number 6, the Bible says in verse 5 says, "The daughter of Pharaoh came down and washed at the river, and she sees among the flags the ark, and she gets it out." Now here's where the will of God begins to work in the life of this little baby called Moses. Verse 6, and says, "When she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.'" Here we find God has a will. The battle is won with a tear. With the baby crying, compassion comes upon the life of this daughter of Pharaoh. And she says, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." She understands that there's a mother out there somewhere that did not want her child killed. She understands that there's a parent out there that has done all that she can do to protect her her child and to check this to take care of this male child. And we find that she sees this, and the Bible says she had compassion on him. And when his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. So here we find the perfect will of God working out in the life of this little baby Moses. He is there hidden in the ark, and he's there among the bulrushes, and he's there among the flags where the ark wouldn't float away. And the sister is over there watching, and she sees, and maybe she sees in horror, and first of all, she thinks, "Oh my, now that's Pharaoh's daughter. Surely Moses will be in trouble, because this is the daughter of the Pharaoh that has given the decree that all the male children are to be destroyed and to be killed." But you see, where man has his plan, God also has a plan that far outweighs and far greater and far better. And this daughter of Pharaoh, she has compassion on this little baby. She has compassion on this child. And Moses' sister, she jumps out all of a sudden and says, "Can I go get you a maid to help with the raising of this child?" And of course, she goes and gets Moses' own mother. And only God could work out something like that. Only the Lord could do that. And we find that the battle here for God's will and the battle here is for God to have this young baby, this boy, he's going to grow, he's going to mature, and he's going to become a wise man in all of the land of Egypt. Turn over to the book of Acts just for a moment. Acts chapter number 7. We find that Moses had great leadership in Egypt. Now we skip the time. All of a sudden, Moses now is a full grown adult. And chapter 7 of the book of Acts gives us some things about his leadership. The Bible says in Acts chapter 7, verse number 22, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in word and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came to his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel." So here we find Moses being trained, and Moses having all the wisdom and the teaching of the Egyptians. And if you know anything about the ancient Egyptians, they certainly were not a people that had no knowledge. They certainly were a people that had much knowledge and had a lot of things that even baffles the mind of the modern thinker today, is how in the world they did all the things they did there in Egypt, and the pyramids and the weight of the rocks, and how they got them all in the certain places and certain ways, and how that they represent certain things and point you to certain directions. And it baffles the mind even of the modern day thinker and the modern day scientist. And Moses was learned in the wisdom of Egypt. He was well versed in those things. And the Bible says he was mighty in words and in deed. Now, Moses later on says, "I can't speak." But the Scripture says here that he was mighty in words. You know, sometimes our understanding of ourselves is much different than God's understanding. Moses felt like he couldn't do it, and God said, "Oh, but you can." And here in Acts, it tells us that he was mighty in word, mighty in deed. And now he has been 40 years there in Egypt as a grandson of the Pharaoh. Now, Moses' life is given to us in three different periods of time of 40 years. Those first 40 years, he was in the house of Pharaoh. He then, as the Scripture says, when he came to full 40 years old, his heart was to visit the children of Israel, his brethren. And then the last part of the next 40 years is when he's there in Midian, where he is on the backside of the desert, and he's run from Pharaoh because of the killing of the Egyptian man, and he's run from Israel, the Israeli men, because they rejected him as their leader. And so he's back there just sort of lost and forgotten about for 40 years. But where we read tonight begins the next 40-year period of his life. And that's when God is dealing with him, and God says, "Moses, Moses." And from that point on, then he begins to have that last section of his life of 40 years. The Bible says there that he was well versed, he was learned in the things of the Egyptians, and he understood their laws and their ways. And so that's some experiences that he had. Had great leadership in Egypt. He had lessons that he had to learn from the desert. He had had those 40 years there as a shepherd, and he learned how to take care of a flock. He learned how to take care of things when it was difficult and hard, and maybe not everything is going to be just as it should be for him, because he's back there as a shepherd and no one else around him except his flock. So his experiences will help him, because the last 40 years of his life, he's still going to be a shepherd. But it's going to be a shepherd of people. It's going to be a shepherd of the nation of Israel. And certainly they rebelled against Moses and Aaron, rebelled against God. And Moses learned some things on the backside of the desert that's going to help him in that last 40-year period of his life. But it all came down to the time when God said unto him, "Moses, Moses." And he answered, "Here am I." You know, there's pivotal points in all of our lives. There's certain times in our life that we have to answer the call of God. We have to answer what the Lord wants for us, and whatever it might be. And it's not necessarily a call to preach or a call to be a missionary or a call to do anything out in the above everybody else. But God has a purpose for all of us. God has a plan for all of our lives, and we have to get to the point that God can look at us and we will say, "Here I am. I'm willing, I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do." And so the experiences of the past was going to be helpful in the future for Moses. And most of us, the experiences of the past are helpful in our life as a child of God, because of what the Lord has permitted us to go through and permitted us to have. Sometimes sickness comes to us. Sometimes problems arise in our life that somewhere down in the future we can help somebody else with the very same thing. And we can say, "I know how you feel." We can say, "I know what's going on, because I've been there." And that has been in my life also. And it's always good to be able to help someone that has the same problem that you've experienced, and you've gone through it, and the Lord's blessed you with it. But it all comes down to the point of separation. If Moses had not have said, "Here am I," then Moses' life would have not amounted to anything for God. You see, it comes to the time when God says, "Moses, Moses." Moses could run. Moses could turn around and said, "I don't want to have anything to do. I've already been to my brethren. They've rejected me." And he did put up some of those things as he talked with the Lord. But God says, "I'm going to be with you. I'll be there for you." And so his lessons there were very helpful to him. And so Moses sees this burning bush. And he sees the things that's happening, and the fire is there, but the bush is not consumed. And he hears the voice of the Lord, and he hears his name call, and he says, "Here am I." Now he's going to exchange his position. He's going to change places. He's going to move from the desert. He's going to move from the backside of the desert, and he's going to go to the face of Pharaoh. As I said a while ago, he was content. Sometimes we get too content in our life. Sometimes we have too much that we are just satisfied. And sometimes it takes the Lord shaking us a little bit to make us realize that we need some other things, especially. The scripture says here in verse number 21, Moses was content. The Bible talks about being at ease in Zion, being at ease in what we have, the blessings of the Lord, and we just really forget about really what is going on, what's taking place around us. And so Moses is content just to be an ordinary shepherd, just to be an individual that can take care of his father-in-law's sheep and have a family, have a house, have a roof over his head, and just take care. He was content doing those things, but God's not content with him there. God wants him doing something else much more important. So his contentment, now we, in chapter 3, verse 10, we find his commission given to him. And the Lord says in verse 10 of chapter 3, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee to Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. All of a sudden now, Moses hears what God wants him to do. Moses has already said, I'm here, I'm available. And God says, here's my commission. Here's what I want you to do. He was going to be God's man in Egypt. He was going to be God's representative. He was going to be God's spokesman. And of course we know the details and the struggles that took place. But this was the perfect will of God for Moses and his life. And so the Lord says, come now therefore, and I will send thee to Pharaoh. Not only am I going to send you to Pharaoh, but I'm going to have you to bring my people out. And they're going to leave Egypt, and you're going to be the leader. And so here we find his commission in chapter 4 and verse number 1 of chapter 4. He gives these objections that the Lord to the Lord. And the Bible says, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me. Now, look back to verse number 18 of chapter 3. God is continuing to walk and continuing to talk with Moses. And Moses tells him this. I'm going to take you to a land that flows with milk and honey, and they shall hearken to thy voice. Israel, the people of the Jews, they're going to listen to you. They're going to hearken to your voice. But Moses said, they will not believe me. Isn't that just like human nature? God says, they'll do it. And we say, that'll never happen. God says they will listen to you, they'll hearken to you, they'll take your word, Moses, and they'll follow you. And Moses, just a few verses, Moses said, but Lord, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. They'll just reject me. And God's already told him they'd accept him. That's human nature. That's that life that we have of unbelief. Of unbelief, not trusting the Lord. And so God gives him a confirmation here. In verse number 2, the Lord said unto him, what's in thy hand? Boy, I've heard a lot of sermons on that. What is in thy hand? What has God given us? Whatever God has given to us, we can use it for His honor and His glory. What's in thy hand, Moses? And he said, a rod. This rod is going to be very important in the life of Moses. And he said, I've got a rod in my hand. He said, cast it to the ground. And he cast it to the ground and became a serpent. And Moses fled from before him. I would too if I was holding a stick and it become a snake. I think I'd probably run too. But God is confirming, God is making him understand the confirmation that he is going to have the power to do what needs to be done in the land of Egypt for the people of Israel. So the confirmation is something that is visual to him and understands. He becomes a serpent. Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said to Moses, put forth thy hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Notice verse 5. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. He said, I've taken care of all that. And the Lord said furthermore to him, put now thy hand into thy bosom. He put his hand to his bosom, he took it out, and behold, it was leprous as snow. He puts his hand inside his what we'd call a shirt or his tunic, and he puts his hand inside, and when he brings his hand out, it's leprous. It has a deadly, terrible disease for that period of time. He pulls it out, and his hand is leprous, in verse 7. He said, put thy hand into thy bosom again. Put his hand in the bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, these two signs, neither hearken to thy voice, thou shalt take the water of the river and pour it upon dry land, and the water thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon dry land. God says, I'm going to make sure they know that you have power with God. It's a wonderful thing to have the power of God upon our lives. Just sometimes we just go nonchalantly. We go with the crowd and it doesn't matter. We're comfortable. We're content. Sometimes the Lord sort of shakes our contentment and rattles our tree, and He wants us to do something. And as He did with Moses, He said, I will confirm. Here's the confirmation, Moses, that I am with you. What a wonderful thought it is to know that God's with us. That the Lord is always there to help us and to be with us. And of course, in the New Testament, the Lord says He's always with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll never depart from us. And so the confirmation, the rod became a serpent, and his hand become leprous, and sin is always given as a type of leprosy, as a type of sin, and God pulled His hand back out, and it was pure once again. And all these things was confirming to Moses, God says, I'm with you. You and I tonight, we don't have to have that. We have this. We have the Word of God. We don't have to have special revelation. I know some folks think they do. And some folks say they've got a new revelation. If you hear somebody say they have a new revelation from God, just turn it off. Because there's nothing new under the sun. God doesn't give new revelation. We have a hard enough time taking care of the old. We have a hard enough time doing what He tells us to do. We don't need anything new. We've got what we need. And so the Lord confirms this. And of course Moses, he makes excuses and about his personality and about his life and his trouble with his background. We read those verses a while ago concerning his background. Verse number 11, Moses said, who am I that I should go bring? You should go into Pharaoh. Who am I? I'm nothing. And so he has trouble. He said, I'll never be accepted back in Egypt. I'll never be accepted back. You see, Pharaoh was after him because he killed an Egyptian, and the Jews didn't want him because they said, are you going to... He came and tried to take care of a fight between two Jews. They said, who's made you ruler of us? You're going to kill one of us like you did the Egyptian? And Moses was very fearful because they had threatened to maybe even destroy him. So he had trouble with his background. He said, they'll remember me. You know, the devil always calls up our background. He always brings to remembrance, and we to remember what you did. Remember who knows that, and you know that they're not going to believe. But if God says yes, God says you can, then just be sure that we can do what God gives us in revelation to help us and to do those things. He had trouble with his background. He had trouble with his own personal belief. He just didn't think he could do it, even though he said, "Here am I." When God told him what it was, he said, I can't do that, God. And I've said so many times, whatever God calls us to do, He provides the power wherewith to do it. Whatever God tells us to do, God is not going to ask us to do something when He knows we cannot. When God asks us to do something, He knows we can. We can't do it in our own flesh. We can't do it in our own strength. But we can do it with His help. And so Moses had trouble with his background. He had trouble with that self-belief, whether or not he could. He had trouble with his backwardness. He said, I can't talk. I'm a slow tongue. I'm a slow speech. In chapter 4, verse 10, Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hitherto nor since thou hast spoken to thy servant. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? God always has an answer. Moses said, I can't do it because I can't speak. And God said, who made your mouth? And of course we know that the Lord is our maker. Who maketh the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Moses, you're telling me you can't do it? Well, I'm the one that says you can do it. And if I've made you the way you are, then I can change you and make you what you should be. Thank God for the change that He puts in our life. It comes from the point of separation. Separating from the world. Separating from those around us. Verse 12, He gives this commission once again to him. Now, therefore, go. The Lord says it's time for you to go. I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak. And so God sends Aaron with him. Interesting to study the life of Moses. Moses wanted Aaron to speak for him, and he did there for some time. But as time progresses, Aaron sort of fades in the background. You know who's doing all the talking? It's Moses. Because God has enabled him. God said, this is what I want you to do. And God enables him to do that. And so the enablement of the Lord of heaven for the purpose of God, the mighty power of God was revealed through His wrath upon Egypt. If we had time tonight, we'd go through all those plagues. It hadn't been too many weeks ago we did that in our Sunday school time. And every one of those plagues was a judgment upon one of the gods of Egypt. You see, they believed in a plurality of gods. And plague that came from the Lord was a plague upon their gods. Moses, I have enabled you, and I'm going to show the wrath of God upon the people of Egypt and the marvelous protection of God that He gave to the people of Israel. He gave them protection there on that last plague, the death of the firstborn. He gave them protection there when they traveled across the Red Sea, and God opened the waters, and they went across on dry ground, and God closed the waters up on the Egyptian crowd, and they all died in a day. See, God's enabling Moses and showing him that you can do what I tell you to do. You can follow. God was protecting them and the provision that God gave them while they were traveling through the wilderness. He gave them manna to eat, which is called angel's food. He gave them water to drink from that water, that rock that followed them, which was none other than Jesus Christ. Can you imagine how that was a miracle within itself? The Bible says that rock followed them. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians that rock was Christ. Oh, for the marvelous protection and the watch care that God did for Moses and Israel. While they're in the wilderness, God gives them protection there from the enemies. He gives them protection from all the problems might come. And as we are studying in our Sunday school lessons, he gives them a place where that they can meet with God called the tabernacle. And there the glory of God comes down in the midst of the people of Israel. And Moses is seeing all this, and it's all because one day he said, here I am. It's all because God said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Lord, here I am. It's a fearful thing sometimes to say, I'm here, what do you want? Because it's sometimes not what we think it is. From God for 40 years, they had food. From God for 40 years, they traveled through the wilderness and they had water from that rock. For 40 years, their clothes, the Bible says, did not wax old. For 40 years, the Bible says that that they had shelter from the sun by the cloud that was over them by day and also by night. And 40 years, the pillar of fire warmed them as they traveled. I believe God's able to take care of every need we have. It just comes down to the point of saying, Lord, here I am. And God said, Moses, I can use you, but I can't use you here. I need you. I have place for you, but it's not here on the backside of the desert. It's in the face of Pharaoh, that one that is after you, that one that wants to kill you, that one that wants to destroy you. And you're going to lead a people that they had said some years before, who are you, Moses? Who's made you ruler over us? And God said, they'll understand that I'm with you, and I'll prove that by those miracles that I do in their sight. So here we find tonight the twice called name, Moses, Moses. And God said, I want you to leave here and go there. Separation. And I believe every child of God in our personal life, there comes a time when God says, I don't want you to stay where you are. I want you over here somewhere else. I'm not talking about a physical move necessarily, but He doesn't want us to stay content in our life. He doesn't want us just to get by. He wants us to be over on the other side fighting the battles. And by the way, the Promised Land was a place they fought battles. When they got there, Canaan land is not a type of heaven. I know some of the songs say it is, but they're wrong. Canaan is a type of our personal battle with the devil while we're walking from this life to that life. And there's many, many problems, many sorrows there. And God doesn't want us just to stay in our comfort zone. Sometimes He gets us out of it. But we have to say, I'm willing. I'm here. You can separate me. You can do those things for me. And it's always a wonderful thing, a wonderful thought to know that we're in the center of God's will. This is where God wants me. This is what God wants me to do. I know what it is. Now, sometimes it's a struggle to get it. Sometimes it's a problem to figure it all out. Moses had a problem with it, so I'm sure we will have many, many times. But God wants, if God has a will for us, and He does, then God wants us to know what it is. And so He'll show us. And He'll help us as we study His Word, as we pray, as we talk with folks, as we try to get counsel from others about our life, what God wants. And more than anything else, this book here reveals to us what God has for us as a believer. All right, let's stand together tonight.